Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, titled Conversation Between Manu and Kardama, text number 26. Sacheha Vipra Raja Rishir Mahishya Shatarupaya Ayasyati Vikrustvam Parashvo Dharma Kovidaha Sacheha Vipra Raja Rishir Mahishya Shatarupaya Ayasyati Vidrukshtvam Parashvo Dharma Kovidaha Sacheha Vipra Raja Rishir Mahishya Shatarupaya Ayasyati Vidrukshtvam Parashvo Dharma Kovidaha. Word to word translation. Saha Swayambhuva Manu Cha An Iha Here Vipra O Holy Brahmana Raja Rishihi The Saintly King Mahishya Along with his queen Shatarupaya Called Shatarupa. Ayasyati will come. Vidrukshuhu, desiring to see. Tvam, you. Parashavaha, the day after tomorrow. Dharma, in religious activities. Kovidaha, expert. Translation. The day after tomorrow, O Brahmana, that celebrated emperor who is expert in religious activities will come here with his queen, Shatarupa, wishing to see you. There is no purport to this verse, so we'll go to the next verse. Atmajam asita pangim vyayaha shila guna vitam mrghayantim patim dasyati Anurupayayeti Prabhu. Translation and purport by Jivan Grace Srila Prabhupada. He has a grown-up daughter whose eyes are black. She is ready for marriage and she has good character and all good qualities. She is also searching for a good husband. My dear sir, her parents will come to see you who are exactly suitable for her. Just to deliver their daughter as your wife. Purport. The selection of a good husband for a good girl was always entrusted to the parents. Here it is clearly stated that Manu and his wife were coming to see Kardama Muni to offer their daughter because the daughter was qualified and the parents were searching out a similarly qualified man. This is the duty of parents. Girls are never thrown into the public street to search out their husband. For when girls are grown up and are searching after a boy, they forget to consider whether the boy they select is actually suitable for them. Out of the urge of sex desire, a girl may accept anyone. But if the husband is chosen by the parents, they can consider who is to be selected and who is not. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the girl is given over to a suitable boy by the parents. She is never allowed to select her own husband independently. Om Atyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatha Anvitam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Haripriya Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namonam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Ghura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So here in this two verses we see how the Lord Himself is arranging a suitable girl for Kardamamuni. So at least in Kardamamuni's sake, the Lord saved him from paying to all the astrologers. So the money that he has to give for each astrologer to check the horoscope that the Lord Himself saved. So he doesn't have to go and check horoscope, but whatever the Lord says, that's the ultimate truth. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So Lord is saying, this girl and her parents will come and they will offer their daughter to you. You accept her. But Prabhupada in the purport clearly brings out why parents chose the husband for a girl and why the girls themselves don't choose a husband. And what is the Vedic system that's followed. And we also see what will happen if a girl chooses her own husband. There are instances where such choices were made and there were repercussions of that. So in general we'll try to see in today's discussion about what are the duties of the parent. So here it is said it's the duty of a parent to find a suitable husband for their daughter. So we have this famous verse in Rishabhadev's teaching. Guru na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, daivam na tasyat, na pati na sasyat, na mocheyet yo samupeda mrityam. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a relative, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So as far as a girl is concerned, in the initial days till she grows up to the age of marriage, the father and mother take care of her. And they give her the necessary protection, training, so that she can then move on to the next stage of life, which is Grihastha Ashram. But before that, before choosing the husband, they make sure that the husband is qualified. That is the duty of the parent. So in the purport to that verse of Lord Rishabhadev, Srila Prabhupada mentions an interesting point which serves as a qualification for a highly elevated person, whoever he may be, whether he is a father or a spiritual master or a mother. So Prabhupada says, unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father or mother. Now why should somebody give everything to the Supreme Lord? Because everything actually belongs to him. Intermediately we are given responsibilities to take care of some of our subordinates, but actually they all belong to the Lord. In the same purport, Prabhupada explains how the superiors accept worship from the subordinates. It is not just enough for the superiors to accept worship, but they should also deliver their dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So as far as the father and mother are concerned, they are taking care of the daughter. Now they still want to make sure that the husband who they are giving their daughter to, He is also capable of delivering the daughter from the cycle of birth and death. For that, he must be devoted to the Supreme Lord. He must be able to deliver the daughter from the samsara cycle. So that is one of the qualifications that the parents look for. And secondly, they look for the compatibility of horoscope. So Prabhupada, even in this chapter, he mentions about wife having a similar disposition. In verse number 15, purport, he mentions about how a girl of a like disposition should be chosen. And that he mentions the phrase like disposition is very significant. So he was mentioning how boys of similar natures were married and they were able to perform devotional service more effectively. So he says that consideration is very important. So it is should be make sure that before the factual union happens, there must be psychologically, it must be compatible. If it is not so, then immediately after marriage, divorce and separation happens. He also mentioned in that purport that consideration for the physical beauty is not given, whereas more emphasis is given on the psychological disposition and like-mindedness. And to find that the boy and the girl are compatible, what was used earlier was examining the horoscope. So it was a custom in the society to examine the horoscope of a boy and a girl to find out. And because we have a body made up of material nature, even though we are spirit soul, according to the nature of the material body, we'll have certain inclinations. So different varnas are described, how there is Vipra Varna, Kshatriya Varna, Vaishya Varna and Shudra Varna. So this must be examined before a marriage is arranged for. So a boy of Vipra Varna, if he marries a girl of a Shudra Varna, it becomes incompatible. Now, lot of time, the incompatibility will result in conflict, and instead of the wife and the husband worshipping the Lord together, they will spend the time in resolving their own conflicts. So the actual purpose of married life is not solved. So the purpose of checking even the compatibility is to make sure that they are compatible and together they will be able to render devotional service to the Lord, and the amount of clashes or difference of opinion will be kept to the minimum, so that the time is effectively used in the service of the Lord. In the same purport, Prabhupada makes another very interesting point which is very relevant to devotees. Of course, this is Trigunya, a material calculation according to Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such consideration. A devotee is transcendental, and therefore in a marriage between devotees, the boy and the girl form a very happy combination. So earlier in the same purport, Prabhupada mentions about compatibility must be checked. But later on he says, for a devotee, it's not required. Now, based on this statement, we should not be prematurely going to the point of not considering the horoscope compatibility. To the extent that we are pure devotees, only to that extent we are transcendental to the modes of material nature. So if we prematurely assume that we are so transcendental, we don't have to consider all this, then that's misconception. An example is given how you start putting money in a fixed deposit, and then slowly it will mature, and over a period of 10-15 years, then it will give the actual fruit. Similarly, we are just starting to perform bhakti, and slowly we are getting to the transcendental platform. In this journey, we have to, if we are deciding to get married, so then we have to choose a partner where compatibility is checked. So that way we are clear about our devotional life and we are having a partner who is compatible so that the journey is safe. Now, in terms of duty of the father and the mother, they also train the daughter in such a way that she has all the good qualities. Now, what are those good qualities that a chaste woman should have? That's also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's in 7th canto, 11th chapter, verse number 25 and 26 and 27 also. So, it gives a list of all the qualities of a good wife. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women who are described as chaste. So the important consideration given is she has to follow the vows of her husband as well. And she must be assisting the husband in various means and giving respect not only to the husband but also to the husband's relatives, father, mother and all the friends. And the emphasis is given to the service to the husband. The next couple of verses describe how she must be dressed, how she must be clean, and how she must take care of the household. She must sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids so that the entire house is always pure and clean. This is to make sure that the home itself is in the mode of goodness where the worship of the Lord is going to happen. So that is why these prerequisites are given. This naturally raises the consciousness of a person, both male and a female. And this is how we come out of the lower modes, which is mentioned in the purport. The urge of sex desire, in Bhagavad Gita, modes of nature, material nature, are describing that. Passion, and describing passion, Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the attraction between a male and a female. By developing the qualities that are mentioned in this Bhagavatam verse about a chaste woman, those lower natures are gradually conquered. And the place of home is considered like a place of worship for the Lord, and the Lord is kept in the center. So that is why both the husband and wife should together keep the household clean, and all that is required so that both have that attitude of serving the Lord, and thereby they are coming to the platform of goodness, conquering their own lower modes. Continuing with the qualities, she should collect household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers, and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of the husband with love according to time, place and circumstance. So these are the principles in that same purport. Prabhupada explains how these are the principles in which women should be trained. So that responsibility is again with the parents. So that is also a duty of the parent to make sure that training is given to women in such a way that they are grown up nicely and these qualities are imbibed in them. And later on when they enter a household life, they will be a good wife. Now this creates a nice environment where the girl is suitable. In this situation we see Kardama Muni is also a great yogi, and we saw how Devahuti is also a great yogini. So the compatibility is there. And then both are inclined in serving the Lord. So later on, these married couple, they engage in devotional service. And when the time is ready, they are ready to create progeny. So in that connection also, Prabhupada explains the discipline is there not only in Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa ashram, but it's also there in the Grihastha ashram. In verse 7.12.11, it is stated how all the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of renounced order of life. The Grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the favorable period for procreation. So here again, Grihastha life is not considered as a concession for sex life, but under the guidance of a spiritual master, you create progeny. And Srila Prabhupada very mercifully has given and in the institution he has formalized how family men have to purify both the husband and wife. They have to purify themselves before creating a progeny. He has given us the Garbhodhan Samskara. Even though as a sannyasi he is not meant to advise on these matters, in one of his letters to Satswarup Maharaj, he clearly explains. It is to Satswarup Maharaj on September 20th, 1968. A sannyasi is not supposed to be asked about anything sexual. But still, because you are so much dependent on my instruction, so I must give you information as much as possible. Married life is not for sex indulgence. The principle of marriage is on the background of getting good children. So the householder is allowed to have sex life once in a month, just after the menstrual period. And as soon as a wife is pregnant, no more sex life until the child is born and is grown up at least for 6 months. So it's a very long letter. There, Prabhupada emphasizes on voluntary restraint. He makes a very important point. If the husband and wife can voluntarily restrain by powerful advancement of Krishna consciousness, that is the best method. We also see in Bhagavad Gita how we should not artificially restrain our senses, but by engaging in a devotional service and getting a higher taste, we give up the lower one. Srila Prabhupada is bringing out that point. If the husband and wife can voluntarily restrain by powerful advancement of Krishna consciousness, that is the best method. In that same letter, he also advises not to use contraceptives. So here he has clearly given us what are the do's and what are the don'ts, and how the samskara of Garbhadhan must be performed. In his purport to verse 5.2.2, he elaborates this. What is this process all about? What is this Garbhodhan Samskara all about? He says in that purport, this ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants his seed in the womb of his wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with a devotional attitude. So this whole process is aimed at clearing the mind of both husband and wife and bringing them to a spiritual consciousness. The time and place of having sex was sanctified by a ceremony before the seed of a child was planted within the fertile womb of a wife. So he later on, in a purport to 3.20.28, he says, any father and mother should also be careful while begetting children. The mental condition of a child depends upon the mental status of his parents at the time he is conceived. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the Garbhadhan Samskara, or the ceremony for giving birth to child, is observed. Before begetting a child, one has to sanctify his perplexed mind. When the parents engage their minds in the lotus feet of the Lord, and in such a state the child is born, naturally good devotee children come. When the society is full of such good population, there is no trouble from demoniac mentalities. So here Prabhupada is bringing out the positive aspects of what happens when such a union happens after sanctifying, that completely engaging in devotional activity, then you give birth to a child, what will happen? So just as we see the good side of it, so what happens if it is not followed? What are the dangers? That also is clearly brought out in another purport, that's 3.16.35. The living entity takes shelter within the semen of a father, which is injected within the womb of a mother, and with the help of the mother's emulsified ovum, the living entity grows a particular type of body. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kashyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with quality of anger. It is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharge will not be very good. Thus, the living entity wrapped in the matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada brings out the consequences of not following Garbhadhan Samskar. And we, as we see in the pregnancy of Diti episode, what happened. So the consciousness of Kashyapa was not proper, and consciousness of Diti also was not proper. And then that resulted in demoniac children. Now that we have a regulated way of sense enjoyment, is that completely safe to engage in that? In his purport to Bhagavad Gita, one of the verses, Prabhupada explains that one should not be too much attached to such regulated sense enjoyment also. That's in his purport to 3.34 Bhagavad Gita. One has to follow those rules and regulations unattached to them, because practice of sense gratification under regulations may also lead one to go astray, as much as there is always a chance of an accident even on the royal roads. Although they may be very carefully maintained, no one can guarantee that there will be no danger. Therefore, in spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. In that purport, Prabhupada emphatically mentions how one should not be attached to these rules and regulations, but later in the purport, he explains how one must always be attached to Krishna consciousness and in advancing in Krishna consciousness. To the extent these rules and regulations help us in doing it, to that extent we follow. Attachment to Krishna consciousness, or acting always in the loving service of Krishna, detaches one from all kinds of sensory activities. So therefore, no one should try to be detached from Krishna consciousness at any stage of life. The whole purpose of detachment from all kinds of sense attachment is ultimately to become situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness. So here we see how the Vedic system helps us, even though we have attachments. It does not ask us to artificially renounce things, but it gives a regulated way of enjoying sense enjoyment and then producing Krishna conscious children and then raising them. Thereby, the desires become purified. Even the desires don't have to be given up, but they have to be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. Here we see how Kardama's desire of having a good wife is in line with the desire of the Lord. And he openly admits, he even tells that I am like a bull, I don't have any sense, I am asking you, the Supreme Lord, for a nice wife. But instead of approaching any other demigod, he approaches the Supreme Lord, and the Lord, also dear to his devotee, he arranges for a suitable wife. And thereby, the Lord is encouraging him to follow the Varnashram system. And then, the result we see is that he later on produced 9 daughters, and the Lord himself took birth in his home. So, with respect to Mother Devahuti, she exhibited all the qualities that we discussed earlier about a chaste wife. And as a result of that, she was very devoted to her husband, and she engaged in the service of her husband so much so that she did not even take care of her own self. Her body was emaciated and she was so absorbed in the service. Later on, such absorption in the service of the husband pleased Kartava Muni, and he later on gave this benediction and then asked her what she wants, and then she expressed the desire to have children. Later on, 9 daughters, and Kapila Muni was also born to them. So we can see how a chaste woman, acting as per the guidance of her parents initially in her life, then she gets married to Kardama Muni. Again, she follows the rules and regulations there. And she ultimately gets the object of her worship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as her own son. Later, when Kardama Muni leaves for the forest, Devahuti laments that I did not take much association of Kardama Muni. She laments that I was covered by the illusory potency of the Lord. She laments I should have taken more association. But she consoles herself and says that now that Supreme Lord himself is in my home, she inquires from the Lord. She admits that my senses are still not controlled. My mind is not controlled. My Lord, please give me instructions as to how to get out of this illusory potency of yours. Then Kapila Muni, who is a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will start instructing her in the different processes of Bhakti Yoga. And then she will also inquire about the importance of time and also about other types of yogic practices. Why does she inquire about time? It's because she does not want to waste time, and she wants to perform devotional service in the mood of, in a sense of urgency, whereby she can attain the goal without wasting much of her time. So thereby we can see how by following the Varnashram system of being obedient to her parents initially, then obedient to her husband, and then later on she gets the result of going back home, back to Godhead. She gets the instructions directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And she performs austerities based on the instructions that she got, engages in devotional service, and then attains the ultimate goal. So, that's how the Vedic system is arranged for a marriage. So we'll conclude there. I'll also mention a few points about today's being Vrindavan Das Thakur's disappearance. Speak a few lines about him. He is born to Mother Narayani. So she was the one who got the Mahaprasad of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He gave the mercy. And Vrindavan Das Thakur was very emphatic on avoiding Vaishnava Parad, and he spoke very strongly about it, in the sense of how damaging it is. And he goes on to explain how if a person, even after understanding the impact of this, he continues to do Vaishnava Parad, he will even go to the extent of hitting that person physically. So he was so emphatic in that. So on this occasion of his disappearance, we will pray to him to give the strength to properly honor Vaishnavas, serve them, and thereby progress in our spiritual life. I conclude here, and then I'll ask if there are any comments, corrections, questions. Yes, ma'am. Immaturely, one should not marry, one should consult horoscope. Yes.
So, this horoscope is something which is based on
So the horoscope shows more qualities about the material nature, whereas Krishna consciousness is transcendental. We are practicing Krishna consciousness. How do we reconcile these two? For a person, before he gets married, he needs to have a spiritual master. Because he is going to take up the responsibility of wife and later on of other dependents as well. So before he does that, he must be connected to a spiritual master and connected to Parampara and ultimately connected to Krishna. So that is like the first consideration. In fact, one of the devotees shared that when he went and asked the spiritual master, is married life good for devotional life? And the spiritual master looked at him and answered, first you get initiated, then you think about marriage. So, that is the first consideration. So, only after you get initiated and connected to Guru Parampara, then you can think about getting other dependents. Then, naturally, your spiritual master is also going to advise you to find, to do the horoscope match. Yes, the horoscope match tells about the material qualities and Krishna and Krishna consciousness, they are beyond these material calculation horoscope. That's why to the extent we are Krishna conscious, to that extent we are free from the influence of planetary systems. Till that point, we are not completely pure, that horoscope match is there. It gives an indication compatibility as to whether they can progress nicely. At least in their material life is also taken into consideration. And obviously, based on that, spiritual compatibility, what exactly is mentioned is Varna, so, Vipra Varna versus Shudra Varna. So that compatibility check is done to make sure that the clashes and all that will be kept to a minimum. Otherwise, even in the beginning, there will be too many incompatibilities. So to the extent that you follow devotional service, to that extent you are free. Before getting to married life, it is advised that you check horoscope for the basic compatibility check. Although later on, by the strength of your devotional service, you can slowly come out of it. So initially, get a partner who is compatible, then start the journey. And slowly you will be able to transcend the restrictions that are there in your horoscope. Questions. Your question is, yeah. Girls are not allowed to choose their own husband, but later on we have this Swayamvar arranged, and then girls choose, like Draupadi had a Swayamvar. Krishna also. Rukmini was kidnapped, yeah. So, we give the example of how the girls don't choose their husband themselves means, Prabhupada in this purport clearly mentions that girls are never thrown into the public street to search out their own husband. So the father arranges for such swayamvar, the father and mother together. It's not that the girl herself goes out and organizes a swayamvar for herself. Yeah, you got the point. So the arrangement is done by the parents. The freedom of choice is given, but in an environment that's conducive for her. So they want to, the parents want to also check the physical strength, valor. So the kings were asked to come, and even fights will happen to get the hand of the girl. And whoever wins, they will take. But this is organized by the parents, under the guidance of the parents. And obviously the parents are guided by their kula guru. They have a spiritual master, and they will do all these considerations when the girl is ready. And it's not the contrary, that the girl herself goes out and announces that, yeah, there's a swayamvar, please come. Not, there's nothing mentioned like that. Only the kings send out a message that my daughter's swayamvar is happening, and there is an invitation sent out. And that's how it is. It's done. Interestingly, what about girls? Even Lord Ram, when he chose and he broke the vow and he was about to get married, he said, I must get permission from my father. Because Vishwamitra brought him to the place of Janaka. Then the bow was there, then Lord Ram picked it up and then broke it in a few minutes, and then it's as if it's like a child's play. And then Janaka is ready to give his daughter. But even though he could have, yes, I'm given a wife, I can, but he said, no, hang on. I just came here on a pleasure trip. Now I'm about to get married. I must get the permission from my father. So he insisted on getting permission from his father. Then Janaka sends a messenger to Dasarath. And so that's how even Lord Ram sets the example of how even boys don't choose their own husband, their wife, in that instance. So your question, I hope it's answered. So girls don't choose their own husband. The choice is given. It's not that it's a complete restriction that you should marry. Later on, we'll see that Swayambhu Manu will disclose that Narada Muni will be singing the glories of, explaining the glories of Kardama Muni. And Devahuti, slowly hearing the glories of Kardama Muni, she will get attracted to Kardama. Still, she will not approach Kardama Muni directly. What is, and then parents obviously know the mind of their daughter, and they are bringing the daughter to Kardama Muni and then arranging for a marriage. It's always done under the supervision of the parents. So, is that okay? Yeah, at the time of birth, the constellations of the planets affect the type of body that you're going to get. The amount of your lifespan is determined by the horoscope. Then how much wealth you're going to get in this lifespan, that will also be determined. And then major predictions in your life can be made based on that. So your body type, your psychological nature, and the propensities that you will have, whether you will have a propensity of a Brahmana who is more into teaching, or a Kshatriya or a warrior type, or a Vaishya who is more into mercantile things, or a Shudra, working class. So these nature will be determined. And birth and then the death, end of your life, amount of wealth that you learn in this period. Nothing more you can get. Even if you work hard, bang your head against the wall, you're not going to get more than what you're destined. That is predestined. But having said that, when one person takes up devotional service, he slowly comes out of that restrictions of horoscope. And the famous example is given of Prahlad Maharaj. How, even though we have 9 planetary systems affecting us, it is said that Prahlad Maharaj was affected by Krishna Graha. By the influence of Krishna, he was able to come out of all that. So in that way, although horoscope in one sense has some indications this is how a nature of a person will be, but we always have a free will to choose devotional service and gradually come out of it. Sorry, you want to add something? Constellations are basically based on our own karma. There are demigods who are offering the results to us, because you see how sun god, moon god, Jupiter, they all influence them. It is ordained by those demigods. And interestingly enough, in Chennai ISKCON temple, His Holiness Bhanuswami has clearly depicted how every demigod in charge of different aspects in the horoscope is connected to one of the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Sun god is governed by Lord Ram. Moon god is governed by Krishna himself. I think Saturn is governed by Kurma. Yeah, because both are of slow nature. Similarly, that you'll have a whole understanding based on Krishna consciousness, how to look at different planetary systems, how the in charge of every demigod is in turn an incarnation of Lord only. So Varahadev is in charge of one of them, and Narasimhadev, then Lord Buddha. So each one is taking care of each, the chief demigod from whom the other demigods get their strength from. And then once you worship Krishna and satisfy him directly, so then, that's how you gradually come out of the influence of planetary systems. You had another question?
I'm not just wondering, because now it's Kali Yuga, so people have said they have choice to have life, and that's intelligent also. And this is a qualified. People who can do qualified horoscope.
Ah, okay. So in this age of Kali, are there qualified people who can do horoscope? Most of them may not be able to give you a quality one. So that's why we need to find out where there are people who are qualified in it, and then we approach them rather than approaching anybody. As you said correctly, yes, there are, especially in India, South India where I come from, you switch on the TV, there are so many advertisements, and most of them are about, I'll do this, I'll do that, you show me your horoscope, and then for every puja, this is the money, this is what you will get. So it's like a typical business that's running. At the same time, there are authentic people who do this. What is that indication is, they will not voluntarily ask you for a large amount of money. We are doing it as a service. Whatever you want to give, you can give, if you are satisfied with that. And whatever predictions or things that we make, I'm going to do it as a matter of duty because you have approached me. And it's up to you whether you want to give me some money or not. So that is one of the good indications that he is not doing it for as a business, but he is genuine. So most of them are cheaters, but there are some who are genuine as well. Yeah, okay. Alright, we'll conclude here. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tagore Premanandi.